Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to Faith for Families. We are talking in a series called Evermore. You know, ever had a kid read a book and in the instance, happily ever after? We're talking about that. Where are you going to live forevermore, forever after? Where are you going to be in the future? You know, if you know the future, it makes you feel a whole lot more confident about the president. You know, as a father of six kids, we've had opportunities because we have a lot of relatives, and many of them have gone home to be with the Lord, where kids ask, Daddy, what happened to them? Well, honey, they died. You know, everybody's going to die eventually if Jesus tarries. Flesh is going to wear out. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. The flesh will wear out. Now, one day you don't die. You die physically, but you don't die spiritually. You're not dead. You live forever. All humans live forever. We are eternal beings. Our spirit came from God who lives forever. Our flesh came from the dust of the earth, and then it will go back to the dust of the earth. So what happens when people would pass away, they'd ask, Dad, where'd they go? I said, well, hon, your Aunt Bessie went to heaven. How do you know that? Because I knew them. They were a child of God. They were saved. They knew Jesus Christ. Well, what's heaven like? Are they bored in heaven? Are they sitting around in heaven? What do people do in heaven? You sit on a cloud? Do you play a harp? What we're going to talk about today is heaven itself. You know, if you're going to live forevermore and ever after, you know, what is it? Where are we going to be? What are we going to be doing? So the Bible's got a lot to say about it. We've talked so far about sin, about the wages of sin is death, the problem of all humans, the problem of the world, the problem of the earth is trying to throw off that bondage of sin. Sin has death attached to it. It came through Adam. You know, the first sin was not committed on earth. The first sin was committed in heaven. It was Lucifer who rebelled against God and had his five I wills. I will ascend to the throne of God. I will be like the Most High. I will rule over the angelic forces. I will rule over the earth. And what he wanted to do is, I don't want to submit to God. I want to be like God. That's rebellion. God is God. And God created mankind for one reason, to give him glory and honor. That's our reason. What do you live for? Why was I created? To give God glory and honor. I do that by how I live, how I act, by worshiping him. There's a whole lot of things in the Word of God. So I realized sin was the problem. And everybody's sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin was the problem. So we're all sinners. You can't work your way to heaven. For years, religion said, well, you can work your way if you'll be good, do certain things. No, you can't. Sin's a gift of grace by God. Nobody. And we went through all the scriptures in the session on sin. Nobody can work their way to heaven. You don't work your way to heaven. Now, you can get rewards. You can earn rewards. You don't work your way there. You have to receive Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except by me. There's only one way to heaven. It's Jesus. He's the only one that paid the price that we can go to heaven. God became a man in the flesh as Jesus Christ came to earth and took our place. Jesus was born to die. Because we had to die because of our sin. The wages of sin is death. And we were all sinners. All are sinners. The Bible says, if I say I'm not sinning, I'm a liar. That's why 1 John 1:9 was written to Christians. If you sin, Christians, why? Because we still have flesh. One day we're going to get a new body. The body we've got right now is damned. There's nothing good in it. That's why Jesus said, please don't let sin reign in your mortal body. That's why if you sin, repent. If somebody sins against you, forgive. You know, prayers don't work if you don't forgive, you don't repent. That's why we realize something, man. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for the blood of the Lamb on the altar. We can repent. So we talked about sin being the problem. It's kill us off. That's why we can't be good fathers or husbands or mothers or daughters. We can't because we got flesh. God gave the law for one reason, to show us that we were a doofus. No human can keep the law. No human ever kept the law. The only person who ever kept the law was Jesus Christ. He came and lived tempted just like we were without sin. He never sinned. He came to live righteously. So I realize sin's my problem. What do I need? I need salvation. Where do I get it? The Bible tells me over and over, I cannot save myself. I needed somebody to take my place without sin. There's only one person who ever lived without sin. That was Jesus, the Son of God. Thank God. He went to the cross and died for me. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2 that had the devil known, he never would have crucified the Lord of glory. Had he known what the plan was for God to take our place, he never would have crucified Jesus. Because when he crucified Jesus, that cooked his goose. Because when he did that, God birthed himself a family. He told Abraham in Genesis 2, he said, through you all the families of the earth will be blessed. I'm going to get me a family. Do you know throughout the Old Testament, there's not one scripture in the Old Testament, not one prophecy in the Old Testament about the church. It was a mystery. The Bible in Ephesians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, throughout the New Testament, it's over and over. It was a mystery, a hidden plan of God. What? To build me a family called the church. But he didn't tell anybody. It wasn't until Acts chapter 1, verse 7, when Jesus had been raised from the dead, that the Jewish disciples asked him, said, man, when are you going to restore our kingdom? When are you going to restore Israel? I thought that's what we were waiting on, not the walking on the water, raising the dead. We were really impressed with that, but what about us? So when are you going to restore Israel? God, and Jesus said, I don't know. Only my Father knows that. I do know this. I'm going to make you witnesses for me. I'm going to send you into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. The church was born on that day. And we've been in the church age, the time of the Gentiles, for a little over 2,000 years. How long have we been in the last days? 2,000 years. When is the last days going to end? Since Jesus says when the gospel is finally preached all over the earth and everybody's been given a chance to be saved, then the end shall come. And after that, Jewish time will pick back up and we'll go into the seven-year tribulation where God deals with the Jewish race. At the end of that, he'll save them, redeem them, and he's going to rule around on this planet for 1,000 years. It'll be the millennium. And after that, after the millennium, the devil will be let out of that bottomless pit for a period of time. And after that, the devil, the Antichrist, anybody that's not served God, thrown into the lake of fire, including Hades and death itself. Then there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And then God will keep creating. It's going to be incredible, and Revelation talks about it. So today we're going to talk about heaven, what it looks like, because my kids have always been so curious. So that what they're doing in heaven. You know, I remember when my father passed away, my dad was big on watches and clocks and calendars. He liked being on time, liked being early. Matter of fact, he said, if you're on time, you're late. And so my daughter said, Dad, what's Grandpa going to do? He left his watch on his dresser. He didn't take his watch to heaven. What's he going to do? I said, well, honey, he doesn't need his watch in heaven. How come? Well, there's no time in heaven. Heaven is eternity. That's why God told Moses to tell him, I am that I am sent you. Heaven is that it is. I am that I am. There's no time in heaven. There's no clocks, wall counters, day timers, day planners. It is not 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 3 o'clock. It's not Tuesday or Sunday. It's eternity. There were events that time will cease to exist when we go back to eternity. God created time for one reason, that he might measure our life. So just listen, get a pencil, piece of paper. We're going to give you some things about heaven. Give you something to think about today. I think that'll encourage you. It says this in Isaiah 66, verse 1. Listen, heaven is a real place. I know people think it's not. Trust me, it is. And you know that by revelation. Now listen to this. Isaiah 66, verse 1. It says this. Heaven is my throne, God says. Ooh, have mercy. And the earth is my footstool. Could you build me a temple? As good as that? Could you build me a resting place? Nope, God, only you can do that. Acts chapter 7, verse 48, Peter goes in and repeats the same thing about God saying this. What is heaven? It's my throne. It's where I live. It's where I dwell. Matthew 5, verse 34, 35. But I say, do not make any vows. Do not say by heaven, because heaven is God's throne. Do not say by earth, because earth is his footstool. Mark 16, verse 19. When the Lord Jesus, finishing talking with them, he was taken up into heaven and set down in a place of honor at God's right hand. Jesus is now in heaven, the right hand of the Father. Acts chapter 7, verse 55 and 56. But Stephen, full of the Holy Ghost, gazed steadily into heaven and saw the glory of God. And he saw Jesus standing in the right place of God in honor at his right hand. And he told him, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing in the place of honor, God's right hand. He was dying, yet he saw heaven before he departed. You ever been around anybody that died? You ever been? The revelation comes to him. I've seen people see heaven, and I've known people to scream because hell was coming. I've seen people die praising God, people die cursing God. Like, you know something, that last stage is real important. It's real important what you believe. As a man thinks his heart, so is he. The truth will set you free. That's why we need the Word of God. It needs to be taught. Because there is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. There are two eternal places. All humans live forever somewhere. You may drop off that earthly body one day, but eventually everybody gets a resurrected body. Even those that went into hell get a resurrected body. At the great white throne judgment, everybody will be there. I'm telling you, those who died in hell will get a resurrected body because the sins that I committed and you committed, we committed in our flesh. So flesh has to be there at the judgment. Now, they're going to be cast into the lake of fire, and that's a sad thing. But everybody's going through the judgment process. It says this, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. For Christ did not enter into a holy place made with human hands, which was only a copy of the true one in heaven. He entered into heaven itself to appear now before our God on his behalf. God's in heaven. Jesus is in heaven at his right hand. It says this in John 14, verse 1 through 4. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I not have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am, and you know where I am going. Jesus said, don't worry, I'm going to heaven. There's going to be a place for you in heaven. God's throne, you'll be there. I'm going to be there. You're going to be there. I'm going to make a place. It says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 through 4. For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is, when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not with human hands. Heaven was not made with human hands. Our new body's not made with human hands. It's God's throne. He made it. It's an incredible place. It says this, we grow weary in our present bodies. We do long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. For we will put on heavenly bodies. We will not be spirits without bodies. Now let me explain something to you. People who die and go to the presence of God right now, they're not in a body. It's just their spirit. Their body goes into the ground. We leave. That's what death is. It is departure from the flesh. Flesh goes back to the dust. Spirit goes back to the God that created it. So if you've got loved ones, they're in heaven, but they don't have a resurrected body. That's why it says that the rapture of the church, when Jesus comes back to get the church before the beginning of the tribulation time, which was Jewish time picking back up. And since I'm not a Jew, I don't go through Jewish time. I will not be here during the tribulation. We're going to heaven to have a marriage supper with Jesus. We're going to be in heaven for 7 years on a marriage supper. We're going to receive our rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. That's not judged for salvation. We're already saved. We wouldn't be going. We're going to be getting our rewards for what we've done on earth. It's going to be an incredible time. Jewish time picks back up. Then we come back with Jesus, according to Jude, on horses, all of us, to judge the earth. And judgment of God will fall. Well, when Jesus comes to rapture, he said, encourage one another, 1 Thessalonians 4:7. Christ is going to come get you. We're going to rise and meet him in the air. The thing in Jude is we're not coming back on horses to judge the earth that time. We're going to rise to meet him in the air, so will we ever be with the Lord. He said, you ought to encourage each other. At that time, the graves will open. And those that have died righteously, not only will we rise in our resurrected bodies at that time, but the spirits that have been in heaven with Jesus will come with him, and they'll get their bodies. Graves will bust open all over this world, and people will get their resurrected body. We go back to heaven for the marriage supper in our resurrected body, just like Jesus, for a big marriage supper. It's going to be an incredible time. Look what it says here. The Bible talks about three heavens. Look at this scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 9. Paul's talking, said, so this boasting is also foolish. But let me go on. Let me tell about the visions and revelations I received from the Lord. I was caught up into the third heaven 14 years ago. Third heaven? How many are there? Well, there evidently is three, because he went to the third one. I was caught up into the third heaven. So whether my body was there or just my spirit, I don't know. Only God knows. But I do know that I was caught up into paradise and heard the things so astounding they cannot be told. Where did he go? He went to the third heaven. What's it called? Paradise. Where did it used to be? Paradise used to be in the belly of the earth. Prior to Jesus being raised from the dead, saints that died, David, Jehoshaphat, Adam, Isaac, Abraham, all of them, they were in paradise in the belly of the earth. There are two places there. It talks about paradise and it talked about Hades. You know, the rich man's on one side, Lazarus on the other. Lazarus over in paradise, Abraham's bosom. It's nice and comfortable. It's cool over there. They're having rest. But across that big gulf, their tongue's swollen up. It's hot and thirsty, and they're suffering. Because those were the two places. People are always separated at the time of death. The righteous from the unrighteous. The sheep from the goats. The wheat from the tares. There's always a separation, people. That's why it's good to be saved and know where you're going. So he's saying right here, he said, I was caught up to the third heaven. Third heaven. Said this experience is something worth boasting about, but I am not going to do it. I am going to boast only about my weaknesses. I have plenty to boast about that would be, and I would be no fool for doing it because I would be telling the truth, but I won't do it because I don't want anyone to think more highly of me than what they can actually see in my life and in my message, even though I received wonderful revelations from God. But to keep me from getting puffed up, I was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger from Satan, torment me, keep me from getting around. Three different times I beg the Lord to take it away from each time. My gracious favor is all you need, God said. My power works best in weakness, so now I am glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. He's talking about the third heaven. That is the throne of God. Now we're going to talk about the second heaven. This is in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14 through 18. And God said, let there be lights. Let them appear in the sky to separate the day from the night. There'll be lights and seasons to mark off all the seasons, the days and the years. Let the light shine down upon the earth. And so it was, for God made two great lights, the sun and the moon, to shine down upon the earth. The greater one, the sun, presides during the day, the less one, the moon, presides through the night. He also made the stars, and God set these lights in the heavens to light the earth, to govern the day and the night, to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So what is the second heaven? It's the universe, you see. If you could get in a spaceship and travel out into time as far as you could go, you would never find the third heaven. It's not in this realm. It's in a different realm. But it does exist. And there the angels live. And everything. But then we have the terrestrial heaven, the one you can see at night, the stars, the sun, the moon. What is that? That's the other heaven. And then what's the first heaven? Well, that's the clouds right above the earth. You know, that's the weather patterns we see all the time. So those are the three heavens it talks about. Now watch this. Heavenly city. What is the third heaven, God's place, look like? Revelation 21, verse 10 through 27 kind of lists this. Here's what it says. John, the revelator, who went up off the Isle of Patmos and saw all this and wrote it down. That's why we know the future, because he saw the future, because he went to heaven and saw from God's viewpoint. There's no time in heaven. God looks out into time. Here's what he saw. So he took me in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. What did you see this at? Heaven. It was coming out of heaven. That's where I went. It was filled with glory of God and sparkled like a precious gem, clear, crystal clear like a jasper. Its walls were broad and high, with 12 gates guarded by 12 angels. And the name of the 12 tribes of Israel were written on the gates. And there were three gates on each side, east, north, south, and west. The wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and on them were written the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who talked to me held in hand a gold measuring stick to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. When he measured it, he found himself, what he found was a square as wide as it was long. In fact, it was in the form of a cube, for its length and width were the height each of 1,400 miles. Then he measured the walls and found them to be 216 feet thick. The angel used a standard of human measure. The wall was made of jasper. The city was pure gold, as clear as glass. The wall of the city was built on the foundation of stones inlaid with 12 gems. The first, jasper, sapphire, agate, emerald, onyx, carnelian, chrysolite, beryl, topaz, Christophaz, and jacinth, and the 12th was amethyst, and the 12 gates were made of pearls. Each gate was from one massive pearl. Whoo, kind of awesome must that have been? One single pearl. And the main street was pure gold, as clear as glass. And no temple could be seen in the city, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb were the temple. And the city had no need for sun or moon, for the glory of God illuminates the city, and the Lamb as its light. And the nations of the earth will walk in its light, and the rulers of the world will come and bring their glory to it. Its gates never closed. At the end of the day, because there's no night, and all the nations will bring their glory and honor into the city, nothing evil will be allowed to enter. No one who practices shameful idolatry or dishonesty, but only those names that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be in the new and holy city. Then Revelation 22:5, there will be no night there, no need for lamps, no sun, and the Lord will shine down on them and will reign forever. It also a place of no tears, no crying, no sickness, no death, no dying. Heaven is what it is. Watch this. The destiny of Christians at death. Listen to this. This is present since Jesus was raised from the dead. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So I tell Christians, when you die, you don't die. You just drop off this earth body and you go to be with God immediately. You don't stop thinking. You still have your consciousness. It's like people that talked about that went into Hades. You know, when the rich man and Lazarus, they remembered everything. You still have a consciousness. You know who people are. I don't care if they were born 1,000 years ago. Look what it says here. Philippians 1, 21 through 24. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain, Paul said. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell, for I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ. If you know, if I drop dead right now, I'll be with Jesus immediately. That's what he's saying. What happens when believers die? Go to heaven immediately. Be with Jesus immediately. Don't have your resurrected body yet, but you go in your spirit and soul go to be there immediately. Look at this. Which is far better, nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. Acts chapter 7, verse 55. But Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, gazed into heaven. He saw Jesus and he saw the throne. Where's it at? Right there. Where's he going? He said, Lord, I give you my spirit. Forgive these people. Stephen prayed the same thing Jesus prayed on the cross. Father, forgive these people. They don't know what they do. He saw heaven. Now, before the resurrection, people went into a place called paradise. Or, you know, we can call that Abraham's bosom. Now then, listen to this. I like this. This is Luke 16, verse 19 through 31. This is not a parable. This is a true story, Jesus said. There was a certain rich man, not a parable. Jesus, when he told parables, he told what he was saying. I'm illustrating some. I'm going to give you a spiritual truth through a story, a parable. This is a true story. This right. There was a certain man who was splendidly clothed, who lived each day in luxury. At the door of his house lay a diseased beggar named Lazarus. As Lazarus lay there longing for scraps from the rich man's table, the dogs would come and lick his open sores. Finally, the beggar died, and he was carried by the angels to be with Abraham. Well, before Jesus was resurrected, nobody went to heaven. They went to paradise, Abraham's bosom, in Sheol, the belly of the earth, which is also Hades on the other side of that big gap. Now watch this. The rich man also died and was buried, and his soul went to the place of the dead. Now the place of the dead is where death is, and death is an angel, a minister of Satan. It is an event departing from the body, but it's also an angel. The Bible says in Revelation that death rides a horse. Hades rides a horse right behind him. He says this, and the rich man shouted, "Father Abraham, have pity." So the rich man who died and did not go to Abraham's on the other side. Watch what it says. "Have pity. Send Lazarus over here to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in anguish in these flames." Well, where the rich man went, it was hot. It was burning. There were flames. And he was thirsty. He didn't even ask for a drink. He just asked, "Would you send Lazarus just to dip his finger in some water? If I could get a drop of water, my tongue." Here's what it says. "But Abraham said to him, son," watch this, "son, remember that during your lifetime." What does that mean? When you die, you remember your life. Do you understand that? People that go into hell, they remember. They don't forget. You remember your mama, your dog's name, your first grade teacher. He said, "Remember, during your lifetime, you had everything you wanted, everything you wanted. And Lazarus had nothing. So now he is being comforted." So what happens in paradise, Abraham's bosom? You're comforted. You, on the other hand, are in anguish. What happens if you die without Jesus? It's bad. It says this, "And besides, there is a great chasm separating us. Anyone who wanted to cross over to you from here is stopped at its edge, and no one over there can cross over to us." Then the rich man said, "Please, Father Abraham, send him to my father's home, for I have five brothers." He remembers his life. He remembers his brothers. He remembers his dad. You don't forget. That's part of the pure hell of hell. I could have done different. I didn't have to end up here. I could have been in heaven, but I chose not to. I could have been nice to that poor beggar. I chose not to. He said, "For I have five brothers, and I want him to warn them about this place of torment, so they won't have to come here when they die." But Abraham said, "Moses and the prophets have warned them. Your brothers can read their writings anytime they want to." And the rich man replied, "No, Father Abraham, if someone were sent to them from the dead, then they would turn from their sins." But Abraham said, "If they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't listen even if somebody's raised from the dead." Now listen to me, people. Jesus has been raised from the dead, and half the world doesn't believe that. He said, "You know how you believe? The Word of God." That's why we had a whole session on the Word of God. It's the Word of God that will convict you. It's the Word of God that will save you. Miracles don't save people. The Word of God saves people. You understand that? It's really important you get there. Here, listen to this scripture. Luke chapter 23, verse 43. "Assuredly, I say unto you that today you will be with me in paradise." That's what Jesus told the thief on the cross. When the thief asked, you know what the thief asked for? Mercy. Mercy. Have mercy. The other guy said, shut up. No, this one thing, have mercy. Jesus, "Assuredly, you'll be with me in paradise." So when Jesus died that day and left his earthly body, and they carried his earthly body and took it down from the cross and put it in the tomb, Jesus' soul and spirit went into paradise where the good side was. Watch this now. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 9 says this, "Now this, he ascended." What does it mean? "But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above the heavens, that he might fulfill all things." Ecclesiastes 12:7. Watch this. "Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to the Father." 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Listen to this. 1 Thessalonians is New Living Translation. "Now, my brothers and sisters, I want you to know what will happen to the Christians who have died, so you'll not be full of sorrow like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we believe that when Jesus comes, God will bring back with Jesus all the Christians who have died. I can tell you this directly from the Lord. We are still living when the Lord returns. We'll not rise to meet them ahead of those who are in the graves." They're going to come out of the grave. They're going first. "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the call of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and then all Christians who have died will rise from the graves." They're going to get their resurrection body when Jesus comes out. Boom! They're going to be reunited with a resurrection body. "Then together with them, we who are still alive, remain on earth, will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air and remain with him forever. So comfort one another with these words." I'll tell you something, heaven's going to be an incredible place. You're going to remember your friends, your family, your mom, and your dad. Bible says, "Well, all tears are going to be wiped away. It's It's going to be an incredible place. It is a place of eternity. And we're not just going to sit around on a cloud and strum stuff. There's different levels of rewards in heaven, by the way. If you don't know that, listen to this. Revelation 22:12, Jesus said, "Behold, I'm coming, son. I'm coming very soon. And my reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what they have done." 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul said this, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." Woo, have mercy. "Which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day." He knew he's going to have rewards in heaven. 1 Corinthians 3:12, there are going to be rewards of silver, gold, and precious stone. When you get to heaven, we get to heaven, we go to the judgment seat of Christ. Because what is the judgment seat? That's where we get judged for what we did as believers. Number one, we're not being judged for sin. We wouldn't be in heaven if we'd sinned. We're in heaven because we've been forgiven our sins. We go up to the judgment seat of Christ, and that's where we get to pile up everything we've done and said while on earth. And it says, "Fire will light all my works. And when the fire clears, the wood, hay, and stubble, things not done in faith, not done for the glory of God, will be burned up. But the stuff that was done right will be gold, silver, and precious stones." And then it says, so we're going to get a brand new body. I'm going to be in heaven, and we're going to live forever. Again, God says this, "Encourage one another. I'm coming back for you. If I go to build a place, I'm coming back to get you. You're going to be with me." Thank God for heaven. People, there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. I pray God take blindness from your minds and lighten the eyes of understanding, that you might know the goodness of God. That if you're not saved, you might give your heart to Jesus and ask him to come in and be the Lord of your life and live forever and go to heaven in Jesus' name. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. We've got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, JoeMcGeeMinistries.com. We've got all sorts of material, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.
You can also visit us on the web at JoeMcGeeMinistries.org. Join us next time.